Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans, and NBA as a whole, available on iTunes, on Audio Boom, wherever podcasts are found. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter. You can also follow the podcast on social media. It's at Locked On Pels on Twitter. Give it a like on Facebook. Just search Locked On Pelicans. You'll be able to find everything. And believe it or not, all of this really does help the podcast. It comes free to you guys 4 or 5 days a week, depending, as long as my internet is working, which has been hit or miss all week. So one of those weeks with everything. You all know the company here isn't the best. But anyway, got a lot to cover on today's edition of Locked On Pelicans. Two topics in particular. Recent study paper, I don't really know what you would call it, but we'll dive into it. Talking about how Pelicans fans are the second most loyal fans in the NBA as a whole, which I find kind of interesting. And as much as I love all of you guys and I'm a fan of the team myself, don't necessarily find that to be quite true. Do you? We're going to talk about that. Also, general manager Del Demp spotted at an NBA draft prospects workout. I'm going to let you know who that player is, give you a breakdown on him, and whether or not I think he's going to fit in on this Pelicans team, and if he'll even be there at 40th overall when the Pelicans finally make their draft selection in the second round on June 22nd's NBA draft. So, are Pelicans fans the second most loyal fans in the NBA? And this comes from harvardsportsanalysis.org, and it's a condensed version of a research paper conducted for the Harvard sophomore economics tutorial. So this is probably well above most of our pay grades here, but I don't like this. And look, that's not a knock on Pelicans fans. I think they are very invested in the team, but basically my problem has to be with how this research is done and the basic correlation statistic they're using on this. And it's not just, it doesn't make the most sense to measure it like this. And I think more recently, even after the DeMarcus Cousins trade, you haven't seen a degree of loyalty to this team, and partially because they just haven't been around long enough. You would figure loyalty is going to be for teams that have been established for 30-plus years. You have the Lakers who are going to be loyal no matter what, Celtics fans who are going to be loyal when they're bad, things like that. And it also helps to have a winning pedigree and track record and history, because certainly fans will always be there when a team is winning and less so when they are losing. So Pelicans fans being listed as number two, and basically this just takes attendance and it's the winning percentage versus the attendance percentage and the correlation between the two of those, essentially. So if you look at a graph, you've got one line over a number of years going up and down, but it's all there for the winning percentage. And then another one usually going to be below it versus attendance and seeing what that is and how they correlate basically in its percentages. So you can see it pretty easily. And only the Dallas Mavericks had one that was a little bit wonky where they ended up with a negative correlation, which is rather odd given them the best one. But so basically all it says is if you fill up your attendance in your arena and having a smaller arena and a less, like basically just a smaller capacity arena is going to give you an advantage in this because it's easier to fill up versus say a 15,000 person arena versus a 20,000 person arena. And then as long as you're okay, you're kind of in the middle, it kind of punishes losing teams, I guess, or winning teams a little bit. But basically, it's do people show up when the team's bad is what this is saying. And I think we've seen from Pelicans games, that's not the case. The start of this year before the Cousins trade, you know, you get that surge of people excited for the new season to start. Then they start off without really winning many games. They were 1-11 in the home attendance, struggled then. And you could see it at the start of games, there was only like, 2,000 people sometimes for tip-off. It would fill up a little bit more. But largely those numbers you see when it comes to attendance are inflated. Those are tickets sold, not people actually going there. So that's another problem I have with this study, paper, whatever you want to call it. But more recently, I think, with the team losing and ticket prices increasing, more people are inclined to give up season tickets and get them on a secondary market, say, through SeatGeek or another means, and because you can get them cheap. I used to do it before I had season tickets, and that's kind of what got me into the whole writing thing and covering the team in the first place. But, you know, I could go and get tickets the day of a game in the lower bowl for two tickets for $20 total behind one of the basket around 15 to 20 rows back for $20 total. That's an absolute steal. Why would I pay for season tickets when I can get two $10 lower bowl tickets, which is not what you're going to get if you have season tickets? So I think people, until this team gets good again and shows they're going to be competing and it's a good investment in your money, I guess, and of your time and effort. And being a fan takes a lot of time and energy, let's be honest, to watch the games, to want to listen to these podcasts, to read about the team, to talk about it with your friends. It's not like you just show up to the games and that's it. I don't think very many people are just that kind of limited with how they look at everything. So while I don't want to knock on Pelicans fans, I certainly wouldn't say they're the second most loyal in the league, especially when you look at a team like Golden State, who's been selling out their arena since well before they became this powerhouse of a team over the past 3 years. You had Cleveland, who was always doing very well when it came to attendance, and even Orlando, before they built the new arena, would sell out tons of more games without being a competitive team than the Pelicans do. So I don't think Pelicans fans are the worst in the league either. I think a lot of this has to do with maybe at times the lack of coverage around the team and certainly them just not being good. You know, if this team's bad and not competing year after year and being in the lottery, there's only so much enjoyment as a fan who's emotionally invested in that you can have without just being like, okay, I give up. Think about like Browns fans for years, how everyone just said, you know, you're free to root for another team if you want and no one's going to fault you. That's a horrible thing because, frankly, there was no reason for them to root for that Browns team other than it's the same city that they were in. And I've always thought that's a bit of an awkward reason or a weird reason just to blindly root for a team despite potentially poor treatment of fans. And that happens. Owners take advantage of the money they're willing to pay in merchandise and tickets and in concessions without necessarily giving them a good return on the money they put into this team in terms of on-court performance or affordability. So overall, it's not really the best reason to root for a team just because you happen to be in the same city as them. By the way, your company could be right here. Sponsor Locked On Pelicans and your company will reach a passionate male audience that is 78% between the ages of 18 to 44 and 75% from 25 to 54. Recent studies have shown that podcast listeners are 65% more likely to interact with sponsors than other forms of media. Get your company great exposure right here on Locked On Pelicans. Rates are very reasonable and based solely on the number of listeners, so you get your value. Email me. It's Jake@BourbonStreetShots.com. That's Jake@BourbonStreetShots.com to get started today for your company here on Locked On Pelicans. All right, focusing on the upcoming NBA draft, June 22nd, going to have coverage on it, second round prospects, almost daily leading up to that. But some news came out basically the other day saying that yesterday or 2 days ago, maybe depending on when you're listening to this, Josh Hart out of Villanova, shooting guard for them, was working out. He's with the Roc Nation management agency, which is Jay-Z's thing, I guess, why he sold his almost non-existent stake in the Nets to go start this and become an NBA agent. Josh Hart's one of his guys, senior out of Villanova, 6'6", got a 6'8 wingspan, and he was working out the other day and shooting threes in front of a bunch of NBA GMs, and general manager Dell Demps was there among them. So this is maybe someone we should keep our eye on. And, you know, when you watch film of him, it looks borderline that he really could be a prospect and you could see him easily going undrafted. And then you watch other clips of him and you're like, yeah, I could see him maybe going in the second round, certainly not a first round prospect. So basically what he does well are a few different things. First and foremost, he's a good scorer. He's efficient, you know, for his college career. And I just lost where I had my numbers here for him and everything. His senior year at Villanova, one day it'll get there. And as my computer and internet go in and out on me, here we go. Played 33.2 minutes per game, scored 18.7 per game. That's very good. Shot 40.4% from three 2.1 makes per game off of 5.1 attempts. Those are decent numbers, actually. He was a 35% shooter the year before, so he clearly raised it. And I'm going to talk about his shooting in a second because there's two things that really kind of jump out at you with it. But I want to touch on the rest of his kind of box score numbers first. Grabbed 6.4 rebounds per game. He's got good size at 6'6". So, yeah, you'd expect him to rebound pretty well. 2.9 assists per game, so basically three. Two turnovers, not as good. And he kind of struggles with that in certain situations when you really watch him. So that the big number that you want to look at is that 40.4% three-point shooting, which is pretty good. And he increased it from 35% the year prior. But one of the big things with him is, watching him in college, he had a bit of a hitch in his jumper, and it was a rather slow release as well, meaning if you close out really hard on him, it's going to be a struggle for him to get that shot off, and you could see it getting blocked easily, and that's only going to get worse at the NBA level for him. But when you watch the video of him working out, his release looked a whole lot better. No hitch. It was a very fluid jumper. So it looks like he's really worked on his shooting mechanics and his form to kind of eliminate that. So it takes away a bit of that concern about what he could do at the NBA level. So an efficient scorer, his size allows him to guard multiple positions. You know that's exactly what the Pelicans want to see in him. So, you know, and again, efficient scorer. If he's scoring 19 points per game, basically, on about, you know, 12 attempts or so per game. He gets the line almost five times per game. That's what you need if you're the Pelicans. This is a guy who shouldn't necessarily be a high usage player, and he might be able to score even in the limited opportunities that he gets the ball. More than that, though, he's a pretty good rebounder. As I mentioned, very good offensively, can help crash the boards and pull down defensive boards when need to. So that's a great thing. Keep offense alive by trying to get those second chance opportunities and keeping the possession alive for the Pelicans. And he's also a pretty unselfish passer. He's willing to keep the ball moving on the perimeter. It's not one of those guys, which we all dread, where the ball hits their hands and it just stops because they're going to shoot or drive or do something. And Josh Hart certainly isn't one of those players. So even if his offensive game is struggling, there's still ways he can contribute with likely the bench unit for the Pelicans next season. But when you watch him more, the weaknesses become kind of fairly apparent, and it's a big concern. So you've got to wonder about his shooting consistency, and that's something that when you check him out and read about him on Draft Express, it really does jump up a lot. But I think that has to do with that hitch in his jumper, which most recently, as of 2 days ago, really looks like he's fixed. So I'm not as concerned about that there. The biggest thing to me is the lack of athleticism, and he's kind of a little bit slower, struggles turning a corner, so you're not really going to see him running pick and rolls potentially, because teams can easily defend that against him. And if he's not going to be able to do that, you've got to look for him to be a spot-up shooter. So again, it flips back to the shooting and the consistency, but I think we're going to be okay there if the Pels were to draft him. But he struggles finishing at the rim. I talked about this yesterday with Monty Moore. Same idea, where they get to the rim and they struggle unless they're actually getting fouled and they can get to the line and make that a positive offensive possession for the team. Josh Hart fits that same profile. If he's not getting fouled, he's struggling to score at the rim sometimes. And against just better players in the NBA and elite level teams and defenses and players, he's going to struggle and can potentially hurt the Pelicans. So overall, though, again, he can contribute. He can rebound. He can keep the ball moving. And if you need to fill a roster spot, that you could do certainly worse than Josh Hart out of Villanova. So again, general manager Dell Demps was there watching him work out. That his shooting mechanics looked a whole lot better, a whole lot faster, which is exactly what you needed to see about him. And I think you'll see the Pelicans seriously consider taking him if he's available there at 40 in June 22nd's NBA draft. So that's going to do it for this week's worth of podcasts here on Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans, NBA as a whole, and anything I really want to talk about on here. As we hit the summer, we're probably going to throw in some random topics, have some fun with it. That's the nice thing about being able to do this. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, on Audio Boom, on Stitcher, wherever podcasts are found. Please do that. It does help. Follow it also on social media at Locked On Pels on Twitter and just search Locked On Pelicans on Facebook. So thank you all for listening. I'm your host, Jake Madison at Nola Jake on Twitter, and I'll be back with you all on Monday.
Napa Know How.
takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.